Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I've chosen for a sermon text this morning from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the first chapter, and the first 14 verses. So again, that's Ephesians chapter 1. And I'll be reading the first 14 verses of that chapter. And we'll read then as follows in the name of our Lord. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Amen. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, we thank you again this morning for your word. And we do pray, Father, that again, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would make these words known unto each one of us. That indeed, Father, we could again separate ourselves from our preconceived notions and our own interpretations and simply listen, Father, as your word is proclaimed. So, Father, fill us all with your Holy Spirit this morning, that we may know what it means to abide in your Son. So sanctify us in the truth, for your word is truth. Amen. Sometimes, when you begin to look at the scripture, you realize that perhaps, especially as a pastor, that you've probably preached from certain texts many times. Now, I don't know if I preached from this text many times, but I know I have preached from it at least once. And so perhaps in my mind, at least, I'm beginning to replay, as it were, a former sermon. Or exactly how did I bring this out last time, and how am I going to possibly bring it out this time? And there's one thing that Paul does in his letters, which I know I've mentioned to you before, but it bears mentioning again. Paul makes this great statement all the way through his letters where he talks about being found now in Christ. And you see, all of the things that we possibly would wrestle with within this passage, because there's a lot there, I understand. There's a lot of big words, there's a lot of concepts or teachings that are very difficult for us to grasp or even understand. And some people will then just be tempted to basically explain it away. Well, I don't understand this passage, so then perhaps I'll just explain it away. And I don't intend to try to do that this morning. I simply want to draw your attention to what Paul says over and over and over again throughout this passage. Just this little short passage that I read for you, but all the way through this letter, he makes this great statement of being in Christ. And interestingly enough, as you heard our brother praying this morning, he actually mentioned that quite a few times as well. And I was glad to hear that. You see, this is what we need to understand. When we enter now, as it were, into this letter, into this book that Paul writes, this letter that he writes to the Ephesians, we need to take it from its very first verse. In other words, we need to see exactly who Paul's addressing. Otherwise, we are going to wrestle with the concept of predestination, perhaps, or elect, or foreknowledge of God, and how all of that works itself out. And what does that mean? But actually, what we need to look at simply and clearly in here is Paul is writing onto a church in Ephesus that are the elect of God. You see, if I was to make this real easy for you this morning, this is what I would say in one statement. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, you are the elect of God. You see, there's nothing that we need to do to somehow wrestle with this concept and say, well, how does all of this work? Predestination and foreknowledge and all of these things. How does this work and what does this mean for me? Am I perhaps not one of the elect? But Paul is not saying that in this passage at all. You see, as we go through this passage, this is what you see. Paul says, I am an apostle by the will of God. In other words, this is what God wanted. He selected me to be an apostle, one who is sent out to the Gentiles to bring them the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ. And upon hearing this, those who were gathered in Ephesus believed the message of the word. Why? Because this is how God works and operates in his world, in this world today. He operates by the reading and the speaking and the preaching and the hearing of his word. He brings this out over and over and over again. In fact, one of the verses we read toward the end of our text this morning draws our attention to that. But notice what he says. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. You see, he's speaking onto a group of people who have heard the message of Jesus Christ and have believed it. They are the ones who are the believers now. They are listening to what Paul is about to read or write for them. And as they hear it, this is what they're going to understand. We are the elect of God. We have heard this message of the gospel of salvation. We have understood it to apply for our own selves. And therefore, we are saved. Paul says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Powerful greeting. You hear me stand up every Sunday and say greetings of grace, mercy, and peace. And perhaps many times it just falls on deaf ears. Oh, that's just how pastor starts every message. But what Paul is saying here to these people who are the elect of God is God's favor, God's grace now rests upon you and his peace as well. You see, this is what we are to understand as the elect of God this morning. God's favor is upon us. His grace is upon us and his peace. His peace is upon you. Have you ever even thought of that? what that entails and means for you as a person who lives and moves in this world, to have the peace of God in your hearts. Paul says this belongs to you because you are the elect of God. And then he says, he starts what is often referred to as a prayer. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You see, what Paul is doing as he begins this letter, and perhaps maybe we should like preach through this whole letter, not this morning, but in the Sundays to come. Paul is basically establishing something that is of utmost importance for the believer and the follower of Jesus Christ. They need to understand, first of all, that the grace of God belongs to them. The peace of God is theirs because of the work of Christ. And this is now going to bring them to a blessing of God. If one is saying, blessed be the God and Father, what are they saying? Basically, they're saying, praise the Lord. What Paul brings out here is of utmost importance because he says this, simply this. He says, this all is done for you because of the work of our God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Do you hear that? Everything is yours. Perhaps you're wondering this morning what it means to be in Christ. What exactly does that look like? Because isn't that what we wrestle with as human beings? What does it look like now for me to be in Christ? Do you need to be a pastor with a suit and a tie? No, you don't. Do you need to belong to this particular church and fellowship just here to be in Christ? No, you don't. You see, this is what we understand about being in Christ. When you are in Christ, all the blessings of God belong to you. Everything. We have everything in Christ, but somehow we can't grasp that, or somehow we think that we got to somehow get ourselves to that point. And that's what Paul is saying in the first couple of chapters of this letter. You have been saved by grace. In other words, you have done nothing to attain unto your salvation. You see, the terms of elect and predestination simply really mean this. You have done nothing to get yourself saved. You are unable. Paul writes in the second chapter, he says, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. There was no life in you at all. But God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, has made you alive. And you are now seated, as it were, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it's in Christ now that we exist. That's where our identity lies. It doesn't rely in a denomination or a certain group of people that find their heritage from Scandinavia or wherever else it might be. It lies in a single man who in his incarnation and in his death and his resurrection has set forth what we know today to be the messianic age or the church age in which we now live. And he rules and he reigns. And though we may look around us at the world and the decisions of our government or our courts and begin to think that somehow they have the upper hand, they do not. You see, that's what we need to understand. When we are in Christ, everything now is ours. And that doesn't mean that we're going to have a rosy, perfect life in this world. You know that if you know the Scripture. The Scripture says clearly, you probably will suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ. But be of good cheer, because you are found in Christ. This concept of in Christ could be preached on, I'm sure, for years, 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 and years, and we still perhaps would never completely grasp it. You mean that all that Christ has done now belongs to me? You mean that everything that the Scripture has promised is mine now in Christ? Yes. That's what he's telling you here in this passage this morning. All spiritual blessings are yours in Christ. And the rest of this really just goes on to basically bolster or that argument, to build it up or to set it on a firm foundation, that you would understand all of this now is from God himself. Why? One little word. Love. Love. Because God loves you. I know that's hard to understand. Perhaps you think that you're unlovable or something along those lines. But the Scripture tells us clearly here. Listen to what it says. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, notice, in love. God, in other words, from the foundation of the world, already set this plan of salvation into action, because he loves his creation, which is you and which is me. He loved us with such a tremendous love that he set forth this plan to redeem us from our fallenness. And so he says, you've been predestined unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Notice, please notice what he says, by Jesus Christ, according to God's will. This is what God wanted. It's got nothing to do with us. And actually, that should be quite freeing. It's got nothing to do with us or our great efforts or abilities. And it's got everything to do with Christ. That is why I love to read from the German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who you've heard me quote more than once, because he writes about this from a very distinct point. Christ, who is the center, he is the center of everything. He's the center of the community. He's the center of the family. He's the center of marriage. All of this now hinges on him, not on you. His salvation hinges on him, not on you. He has established all of these things through his great work, not on yours. You see, that's how we can understand predestination and election. We simply understand it under these lines or these teachings. All of this has been done for us in Christ. And we who are the believers this morning have been predestined for that, because of the work of Christ. We have been predestined how? In Christ before the foundation of the world. To the praise of his glory, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Notice, again, he brings us all. He's making such a great point here of centering all of this on Christ. In him, he says, we have now the redemption through his blood. We have been bought and back, as it were, from our fallenness or our deadness. And we have been brought back to where we need to be. We have been redeemed from all of our transgressions and iniquities. Did you hear Psalm 85 this morning? Lord, are you going to hold us accountable for all of our sins? Are you not going to take away our iniquities? And this is the answer. Yes, he is going to take them away. In fact, he has in his Son, Jesus Christ, who has shed his blood for this very reason, that your sins would now be forgiven. And you would understand his grace. He says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Are you getting it? In. All of this is found in Christ. You see, what he talks about in these couple of verses is simply this. He talks about now, in the fullness of time, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. Galatians 4:4. You can go read that for yourselves. All of this is simply pointing to this moment now in history. Dispensation. Have you ever heard of the word dispensation? Perhaps you have, perhaps you haven't. Simply talks about the fullness now of time. Dispensation is a length of time. And so sometimes what we look at is the time of Christ and call that a dispensation, which simply means his incarnation, his death, and his resurrection have now brought into being the church age. Everything has been now fulfilled in him. The CSB puts it this way, for the administration of the days of fulfillment. Or the ESV, as a plan for the fullness of time. All of this has come into being. I wonder if you got it. You see, that's really what the first 11 verses, or the first 10 verses talk about. It talks about the predestination of God, the work of God in Christ to bring all of this into being. He did it all. He did the entirety of the work. He established this salvation, and now he lives and reigns in this world in which you and I now live, and we now dwell in what we call the church age, where Christ reigns as victor and we are his followers. But notice what he says in the concluding verses of our text. In whom also, in Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. You see, to put this really simply, Christ comes and does the work, and we actually inherit the benefits. That's really how simple it is. Christ comes, here to this world, to a world that was dead and dying and in the depths and throes of their death and sin, and has come now to pluck us out of that. He has given us this inheritance. And this is what we speak of all the time in church. That's why we come here this morning, or I hope that's why you came, to hear again about what you inherited. This is now yours. God has granted this unto you in Christ. You now are living in this world, yes, but always knowing that one day you're going to see your inheritance in all of its fullness. It's called an inheritance because we haven't received it yet in its fullness. We have received it by faith, but we haven't seen it yet in all of its majesty, or seen him in all of his majesty and glory. Notice how he says this: in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is what? The earnest of our inheritance, or the down payment. We have received the Holy Spirit as the down payment for our inheritance, as he says here, which is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. In other words, the Holy Spirit now indwells us as believers in Jesus Christ, making this evident and known in our lives, so that this isn't just some sort of a weird kind of abstract concept that I'm talking about this morning, but this is reality for you. Why? Because you are in Christ. So I'm going to go back through. I'm going to read this text again for you. And I want you to listen to the ends, because this is really what I want you to get anyway. Starting with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom, in Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom, in Christ, you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom, in Christ, also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you again this morning for your word. We thank you, Father, that indeed as we stand here, as we live and as we go about our lives in this world, that indeed our identity is found now in your Son. And this is how you view us. You see us through him. And Father, we are eternally and will be eternally grateful, because one day all of this will become reality for us. We will see it with our eyes. But even as we live here in this world and walk by faith, we ask, Father, that you would continue to make this truth plain and evident for us, that as we live out our lives in this world, we then would live it out for you. So, Lord, bless us to that end. And, Lord, bless us and keep us. Make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.